Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eagles 360. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. A lot going on here, of course, at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles back to work, getting ready for the home opener on Sunday against the New York Giants. Glenn Mack now will be along in just a bit. We've got an interview with Doug Peterson in studio. We'd like to start the show, however, with a look back film study, if you will, at the game on Sunday. A big play, the Eagles getting a touchdown pass. Carson Wentz to Alshon Jeffrey. Something we want to hear a whole lot this year. We've got Ike Reese and quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo breaking it down.
First and 10, ball at the Chiefs, 14. Aguilar in motion. Wentz in the gun. Wentz sets up, he looks, fires, and it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey says it's a touchdown.
After view, it is a touchdown.
It is a touchdown.
Joining us for this week's edition of Tape Study is Eagles quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Coach Flip, let's break down the passing game. Put up a lot of yards, but we all know that the passing game is not just predicated on how the quarterback plays. There's a lot of variables that go into a successful passing game. Let's talk about some of these other parts.
Absolutely. Well, this is a great first play to start with. Well, first off, we're down here in the red zone. And when we're designing red zone offense, it's more about players than it is plays and matchups down here because obviously the field gets tighter. So we knew their number one corner, Marcus Peters, was not going to follow Alshon Jeffrey. So he always was going to be on our right side. So we wanted to stick Alshon here into the slot to get him man-to-man on the nickel. Normally, we're running a play where Carson wants to exhaust the right side of the play first, except if he sees the nickel man-to-man here on Alshon. So you're going to see Torrey run a what we call a one-step key here from the outside, and Alshon step on the nickel's toes right here and run what we call a big box fade. Carson needs to do a great job of holding this safety here in the middle of the field and just give Alshon a chance right there to make a play on the football.
You watch this play develop. Great job of running that concept. Good ball. Nice job of Alshon adjusting.
Absolutely.
Coming back and making the catch.
And if you want to rewind that for 1 second, one thing that we've really talked about with Carson this year for another tool in his toolbox is the back shoulder ball. Last year we struggled with that a little bit, and that's something we really concentrated on in the offseason here and in training camp, of being able to give guys like Alshon Jeffrey just a chance to make a play on the football, and a lot of times that is a big box back shoulder fade.
No doubt about it. Great job getting in there by Alshon. Get his first touchdown as an Eagle.
Thank you, Ike. Thank you, John. Good touchdown there from Alshon Jeffrey. We expect to see many more this season. Joined now by Glenn Mack now on this Tuesday here at the NovaCare Complex. Glenn, hello.
Hey, Dave.
Disappointed on Sunday?
Yeah, but I did not pick them to win. I thought they played admirably. There are problems with the game we'll discuss, but overall, I think it's what you expected. I think I like that they fought to the end.
And with that, it's time now for Glenn Macknell's takeaways from the 27-20 loss in Kansas City.
All right, I'll give you the good, the bad, the good.
Sure.
Here's the good. Michael Kendrick's preseason was not a mirage, which was nice to see. I think a lot of people thought he'd be traded, he'd be released. And here he is, 2 weeks, two strong games. One caveat, he did miss an important tackle on Kareem Hunt late in the game. But four tackles, two for loss, a sack, a pass breakup, a quarterback hit. He is making a case for more playing time. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, the Jim Schwartz goes to the nickel a lot. But, Dave, it'll be interesting to see if maybe he and Nigel Bradham alternate in that a little bit.
Okay.
Michael Kendricks has played very well.
Yeah, he plays well at the line of scrimmage. The challenge with Michael is in nickel dropping into coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So against a tight end, tough matchup for Michael. But I agree, he has played very well.
If you want to blitz, if you want to rush the passer, he's sure. Better at that than Bradham.
Okay.
The guy's played very well.
Fair enough.
All right, number two, and I'm not the first to say this week, but obviously the Eagles may have to consider reshuffling the offensive line a little bit. Isaac Seumalo is a guy. They put a lot of faith in him going into the season that the third rounder would be ready to start. The first two games have been very tough for him. Clearly, Kansas City, he got manhandled. Doug Peterson says this week, I'm sticking with him, and he's going to do that for one more week. But Steven Wisniewski, Chance Warmack maybe are going to have to get the call. They're going to have to figure out a way to help Seumalo at left guard.
Yeah, it's been disappointing because the Eagles did expect Seumalo to take that large jump in year two, and it still may happen, but it's been a tough go so far for Seumalo at left guard. Agreed.
All right, number three. The secondary hung in there pretty well. I think it was everybody's fear going into the season. Then Ronald Darby gets hurt, so you have more fear. And then in this game, you lose Jalen Watkins and you lose Rodney McLeod. And so this is going to be tough against Kansas City's receivers. You know what? they did okay. Now, it helps when you have that front seven and that big pass rush. That's going to make any secondary look better. But they held Tariq Hill to four catches, 43 yards. Kansas City's leading receiver, Chris Conley, had 55 yards. Dave, I'll take that from this secondary. And I praise them for hanging in.
Okay. And those are the takeaways from Glenn Macnell. We'll talk in just a bit here about the Giants game on Sunday.
Excited.
Big matchup for the Eagles.
I'm excited.
It, really a matchup, as you look at it, Glenn, kind of two really strong defensive fronts against offensive lines that have given up a lot of hits on their quarterbacks.
Yep. Two teams that haven't run the ball well.
Yeah, so that's something we're going to talk about a bit later in the show. We're also going to talk with Jason Avant, the Santander Legend of the Week. But next up here on Eagles 360, it's our weekly one-on-one presented by Wawa, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson, in studio on the other side. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Simply write checking from Santander Bank, the checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher. Because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Time now for our weekly one-on-one interview with head coach Doug Peterson, presented by Wawa. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, and we're going to start with some positive stuff here. Can you handle it?
I'm ready for the positive.
All right, an offense that when you look at certain aspects of it, Doug, it's really functioning at a high level. Plus 50% third down conversion rate, 400-plus yards in Kansas City. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's something that we definitely consider. I mean, you know, when you look at the end of the day and you look at the sort of the box score and the stats, you want to see total yards. You want to see the third down efficiency. You also want to see red zone efficiency or goal-to-go efficiency as well. And then, you know, those areas you mentioned are definitely positives. You know, we are being a little more explosive. I think we had four explosive plays, 20 yards or more yesterday or a couple days ago in the game. And, you know, those are things that we try to. I'm very conscious of that. You know, when I call plays and it's worked for us so far. But now we got to, you know, on the flip side of that, we've got to be able to score points when we get down in the red zone. We got to take care of the football better, and we got to get our run game going.
And how do you get the run game going?
We just got to continue to work at it. Again, it's not one individual. It's 11. It takes everybody. Offensive line is where it starts, obviously. Tight ends and backs, receivers in the run game. And everybody has to pull their weight. We got to continue to work the timing of blocking schemes. And our quarterback is a big part of that and putting us in good situations. So we just got to continue to work. And it's close. Listen, it's not that far off. It's very close. We're just a sustain away from really popping some of these runs.
Was your intention on Sunday to kind of play small ball, play keep away from Kansas City? You ran four times on the opening drive. You ran three times out of eight snaps on the second drive. You moved the football a little bit, nothing explosive. Did you want to come out and just keep it really close?
No, my thought was actually to come out and be explosive mm-hmm. down the field and take some shots, mm-hmm. opportunities there to take some shots. You know, going into the game, you know, it's a good front. It's a physical front, and they pride themselves on stopping the run, and they try to make you one-dimensional. You know, but I felt like going into this game, we had some opportunities down the field, and we were able to capitalize on some of that. You know, we did miss a couple of times, had Torrey a couple of times, and you know, just – just got to finish making those plays. The run game was the same way. But at the same time, I wanted the aggressive mentality. And that's the way I approached that game going into it. And they went down and got three. We went down and got three. But at the same time, a touchdown would have been nice.
Doug, when it's all functioning at a high level, maybe the word is aggressive. What do you want the personality of this offense to be?
The personality needs to be a tough-minded, physical, we are going to impose our will on our opponents. I mean, that's just without saying. I think our guys have that demeanor, have that mentality. As coaches, we got to pull it out and pull it out of them and take on that physicality. You know, you want your offensive line to dominate each and every week. Is it going to happen all the time? No. I mean, listen, we're playing some good football teams and have some great fronts, but yet we want our offensive line to be dominant. We want our quarterback to be dominant. We want, you know, our runners to be dominant and just win those individual matchups. And if we do that better and keep simple better than our opponents, it gives us a better chance to win.
When you step back, or if you step back, 1-1 after two road games, you beat a team in the NFC East, you lose to a team in the AFC. Not that anybody is looking at tiebreakers now, but it could be a factor down the line. Eagles are in good shape. Would you agree with that, or do you not look at it that way?
I would agree with that, but so early into the season, it's hard to really project that far out. A lot can happen. There's a lot of season left, 14 mm-hmm. games actually, and we're focused on obviously on the Giants this week and getting ready for them.
How are the Giants?
Giants are another great test for offense. It's a good defense. They're going to challenge you there. They pride themselves on being physical, and this will be a good test for our offensive line again. Pierre Paul and Olivier Vernon. I mean, these guys are pass rushers, and they got two big tackles inside that can get after you and stop the run. And the secondary is as good as we're going to face. Offensively, they got weapons, as we know. Receiver, Eli puts them in a good position and gets the ball in their hands quickly. And they usually have a pretty good running game. You know, the running game is something that they focus on. It's going to be another good challenge for our team.
How good will it be to get back to Lincoln Financial Field, Doug?
It's going to be great. It's going to be great to be at home, be in front of our fans and our stadium. Guys will be juiced up. It's a great atmosphere to play. We've played in some great stadiums to open the season. Obviously, Kansas City is a great place. You know, loudest stadium, obviously, in the National Football League. But our fans are excited and looking forward to get back to home.
What was the message to the team after the game? Because I wonder, is it a different message first-year head coach to second-year head coach? Last year, hey, we're going to learn from this. We're going to grow. Tough game on the road. Tough loss in the fourth quarter. Was the message different second year?
It is different because we're further down the road now. We're a veteran football team. Carson's no longer a rookie, and I say that not to point the finger, but I'm just saying that everybody's grown up, everybody's matured, and we've been in the system now a year, and so everybody has the onus. It's not just one guy, so the demeanor is different, and obviously it starts with me, you can hold people accountable. I mean, everybody's job is on the line, so to speak, and everybody has to pull their weight. And if I see it, I'll point it out. And obviously, there was a lot of good in this game too. So let's not make it all about the negative. But there was a lot of positives that we can take away. And looking forward to getting back on track this weekend.
The defense playing so hard. The whole team has played so hard for you, and really has never given up. Will that help the Eagles in moments down the line?
It will. It will. We'll learn from these games like this. Learn to play better in these situations defensively. I thought played as well as they can, even down a couple of defenders in the back end in that game. You know, and overall as a team, you know, these are the games we got to learn how to finish. And we can't obviously turn the ball over and give our opponent 10 points off of turnovers. We got to do a better job there. And on the other side of that, we got to try to force some takeaways. We didn't have any in this game, and so those things go hand in hand. But yeah, this is a great learning game for us. It's early in the season, and a lot of ball left, and we'll be fine.
All right, Doug Peterson, thanks so much for joining us in studio. Our weekly one-on-one exclusive, presented by Wawa. Thanks so much for joining us. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. Eagles High School Football Showdown, presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, celebrates local high school football teams and coaches. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/showdown to vote for this week's Game of the Week.
New pass every month? That's old news. Switch to the reloadable, replaceable, reusable Septa Key. Visit iSeptaPhilly.com for info.
And see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles. Ta-ta tokens. The Septa Key travel wallet is here. Visit iSeptaPhilly.com to meet the less jingly way to pay.
Don't overpay for your diamonds. For more than 30 years, Golden Nugget Jewelers has been cutting and polishing the most beautiful ethical diamonds in the world and selling them at factory direct prices. We are proud to be the only authorized dealer in Philadelphia for Tacori, Verragio, and Michael M.
And a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Check out our 5-star reviews online, then visit us on Jewelers Row and see why we sell more loose diamonds than any other retailer in the tri-state area. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It's time now to celebrate our Santander Legend of the Week, and it's odd calling this guy a legend because it seems like yesterday that Jason Avant was stretching out and keeping the chains moving with some spectacular third down catches. But alas, all of those things come to an end, and we welcome Jason Avant to the show and to Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday as the team's honorary captain. Jason, good day to you, and let's begin with this. The New York Giants are the opponent on Sunday, and I wondered in the hierarchy of opponents, where were the Giants for you in terms of a rivalry?
Oh, you know what? The Giants had won a Super Bowl when I was playing, so you know, it rated really high. You know, all the NFC East teams are, you know, we hate them. It's just one of those things that you just hate those guys, and we felt that they thought they were better than us. So we took it very personal, and we always got up for the game. So I would say a tie or a close second to Dallas.
Well, Jason, you guys were very good against the Giants when you were here, 10-6 during your career. Is there one particular game that you remember as a highlight?
Probably the playoff game in 08, just because, like I said, they were coming off that Super Bowl the year prior, and everyone, you know, just slotted them into the Super Bowl again, and we knew that we were a better team than them. We figured out, like, a run game out a bunch, and they couldn't stop it. And so I remember that, and I remember it was cold, and it was gusty, and it was windy, and we had to, like, body a lot of passes because you couldn't tell, you know, where the ball would go with the wind. So I remember that, and I remember going out that we have a chance to play in the NFC Championship. So I was, you know, excited about that.
Jason, let's talk about this 2017 Eagles team. When you watch this offense, X's and O's scheme-wise, what Doug is running, is it the same as what Andy Reid ran here in Philadelphia and then later in Kansas City?
It's very, very similar. It's a little bit different because he's starting to push the ball down the field a little bit more. Just the run-pass ratio is different. So it's very similar, but Coach Reid is trying his best to depend on the running game in order to win games and allow the defense to keep him in ball games. And I think that Doug has supreme confidence in Carson Wentz, which is causing, you know, a little bit more pass-first offense. So I think that's the biggest difference. I think it's very, very similar. it is different because the playmakers are different. I think if the playmakers were comparable, it would be more similar. But the Eagles doesn't have like that grease man like a Tyreek Hill or the Anthony Thomas or guys like that. That besides Darren Sproles, they don't have that grease man that you can get the ball to really, really quick and expect to get 10, 15 yards with a quick screen to him. You know,
one player I'm curious how you evaluate now is Nelson Agholor, entering his third year, didn't really perform up to first round expectations in the first two. Looked very good in the preseason, had a good opener, just got one pass this last week, but it was a touchdown. How do you assess his development right now?
You know what, I'm liking his progression. I think that the expectations for him was completely unrealistic, not having a veteran in this room to kind of show him the way. The other guys did have that were drafted here prior to him. They had someone to kind of help them, you know, work through releases and getting open in the pros and different things like that, and he didn't have that from the receiver position. So I think that his progress is getting better. Him moving to the slot adds a added dimension down the field, something that we didn't have when I was here. Everyone knew that I was a kind of intermediate target, so I believe that will open up the passing lanes for Torrey Smith and others because he can stretch it vertically as well. The thing that's to be determined is contested catches, and those are the things that matter when you're in the middle of the field. And also being savvy enough to be able to pick up blitzes and know when you're hot. Your smartest receiver on the field is usually the person that's in the slot. So there are times where when I'm watching a game, I don't necessarily know if he's grasped all of those things yet, knowing where the zone is, knowing when his man coverage, knowing when you have to slow down, knowing when you have to speed up, those types of things. So once he gets all of that, I think that he'll be perfect for the slot. But the biggest thing is making contested catches. And he's shown that he's made a few this year. Like that touchdown pass was a great catch. It was a very, very difficult catch for a right-hander. So I respected that and hopefully can continue this to progress.
Jason, last one from me. It's early. We know that. The NFC East is wide open. Do the Eagles have a realistic chance of winning this division?
I think so. I think so 100%. From what we've seen from division opponents, we've seen the Eagles, you know, basically manhandle the Redskins pretty much that game. We saw, we see what the Giants are doing. Their offensive line isn't holding up right now, and we see that the Cowboys do have a chink in their armor if you have a decent pass rush. So there is definitely a winnable division for the Eagles, and I think that they have the tools to win it. The thing that I always respected about the Philadelphia Eagles like program organizations that no matter what players you have, the guys all have a sense of pride, and no matter how talented their roster is, the guys still come out and perform. They try their best to give maximum effort. And I think with the division being a little bit weaker than prior years, that they definitely will be the front runners for the NFC East.
I'll close with this. If Carson Wentz needs to improve on one thing this season, what should it be?
Protecting the football in the pocket. The great thing about Carson Wentz is that he's not afraid of contact. We've seen the other night with Eli Manning, a guy was breathing near him and he fell down. That's just not going to happen with Carson Wentz. And that's a hard thing to have. All of my 10 years in the league, it's only been about three quarterbacks that I've seen that's able to withstand that type of pressure in the pocket and still be willing to stay in there without fleeing or getting out of there. And I respect that about him. So if he can learn how to handle and hang on to the ball while he's in the pocket, because it's a great thing that he's doing, but he has to be able to get rid of the ball and also protect it because he's holding it a little bit longer than normal. So I like that a whole bunch. And also was just, I think because of some of the past, you know, his past year where the receivers didn't play as well, I think that he takes a little bit off of balls and it makes him inaccurate at times, like the Redskins game. That's what I thought that was happening. I think that he was taking some off the passes to try to get a completion. Because the guys can't handle his fastball. So I think that if he can just throw it and not think about all of that stuff and just put guys in position by just swinging the ball, I think he'll be fine.
Jason Devine, thank you so much. Our Santander Legend of the Week. Excited that you're in the Philadelphia area and that you'll bring your positive energy and your positive message to Lincoln Financial Field as the honorary captain on Sunday. Okay, so what's ahead here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the official app? It's our Amoroso's On the Menu segment on Wednesday. Mike Quick in studio with me as we take our first look at the New York Giants, the struggling New York Giants, 0-2. Jason Kelce on Sunday in Kansas City, a tale of brotherly love and a little bit of war in the trenches. He was wearing a microphone. We bring that to you as well on Wednesday. And then our progress report, Mike Quick, Ike Reese, talking about Rasul Douglas, who made his debut on Sunday against the Chiefs and played quite well. That's our Amoroso's On the Menu look at what's ahead. Glenn Mack now, what's ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday? What are you seeing in your crystal ball?
I love this week. I love this matchup. I think the Giants, we've watched them over the last couple weeks. The Giants are really struggling right now. This could be the year that, you know, maybe Eli Manning is kind of done. They can't protect him at all. I think it's a very favorable matchup coming home against the Giants.
Okay, and that would be nice. First game at home, another NFC East victory would put that game on Sunday in the rearview mirror. Glenn Macnell, Dave Spadaro, thanks so much for joining us here on Eagles 360. I'm back tomorrow with Mike Quick. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.